Okay, Mr. Chair, we have in the room Lieutenant Ben Enders, Jim Goodman. David Reed, Jim Nichol, Scott Formo, Naomi Orich, Nicholas Mansbach, Paul Fussy, myself, Kevin Farrell, Richard Fossey, Joe Piska, Mr. Woodall, Dakota
Romali.
And then on the phone, we have you, Mr. Rocco as chair, Henry Cole, Officer James Nelson, Scott Nelson, and John Clinton and Carl Edwards. And that's all I have. Is anybody else on there that I missed?
Hi, Mary. This is Rob Rogatio with Motorola.
Oh, and Saunders.
All right, this is also Master Sergeant Rodriguez from Eielson.
Zach Haas from Motorola is also on.
Pete Rogel with BK Technologies is on. I'm not sure if I listened good.
No, I didn't get you. Sorry. And Tim?
Thomas. Yeah, Tim Thomas, ICOM.
So we do have a quorum now.
Thank you very much, Mary. Right now, we could move to the introductions of guests or new members. I was told that Jim might have someone to introduce.
Yep. It's the City of Palmer. Dakota Romali is here from Fire or Radio. Which is when you fire? Fire. Okay.
Well, welcome aboard. Thank you very much, Jim. Moving to the next agenda item, which is a review and approval of the July meeting minutes. At this time, I entertain a motion to approve.
Made the motion.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear who made the motion.
Mr. Chair, this is Paul Fussy. Mr. Goodman made the motion.
Thank you very much, Jim. And I will second it. Are there any updates, changes to the July meeting minutes? Hearing none, motion approved. We move on to the review of the issues and risks log. I believe there's only one item that's still open or changed since the last meeting, and that would be the Zone 2 Master Site power issue. And the update that we have is Fort Wainwright DPW will be working to troubleshoot, fix the transfer switch on August 7th. Possibly we can get any updates to that as we move forward with the announcements.
Yes, John, this is Nick. So I was there that morning when everything took place. It was 100% successful. There was no outage or downtime. As far as I understood, they did complete everything they wanted to complete. To include the generator test run as well. So it was 100% success.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Nick. Then we can close that for the next meeting. Moving on to the action item list. Action item list, we have no updates at this time. We have three items that we're tracking. One is the APX Next Radio discussion as we move forward with some of the newer technology. The others are two for the OMO office, for the letters both to the telcos as well as the issues regarding outages. Mr. Fussy, do you have any updates to give us regarding these two action items?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the group, we drafted up a letter, and the reason we did this is because GCI and some of the other carriers were running tests on their system, and of course, the state APSCS has contracts with them to use some of their commercial circuits for the microwave backhaul, and when they were doing their testing, they would not let us know, and it was causing the system to crash certain areas, specifically southeast, without any warning. So we drafted up a letter. I sent it out to the user council president and some other individuals. Those letters were approved, and I did mail those out to GCI, AT&T, Verizon, and MTA. So with your permission, Mr. Chair, I'd like to close those items out.
Thank you, Mr. Fussy. And I would, approve to close the items out. All right, moving to the next agenda item. It's the operations management overview, and I turn it back to Mr. Fussy. Paul?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. So we'll start out with our training. So the August training video topic, which is understanding failed transmissions, that has now been posted on our website. And I'd just like to remind everybody with the training videos, we have updated it, made it more user-friendly. And our newest video is the top one in the second to the left column on that one. So Mr. Dan Nelson has completed that one. Working with outreach, so I've been making calls to different members to verify the information for Mary. There's a couple agencies that have not reached back out to us. So we've been calling them one by one to have them sign their membership agreement. But we do appreciate everyone who has sent it back. Some individuals, when I've called them, they've had new point of contact done, or individuals have retired and not let us know. So that's been a long, ongoing process, but we're down to just a handful of agencies now. Also, I was tasked with collecting radio data through the... So everyone, we do have a... make sure that you're muted, please. Thank you. So at the request of state OMB, reaching out to different agencies to get their radio data, which are TDMA, FDMA, which ones need their flash upgrade on there. So out of so far out of 135 emails I sent out, I received 62 responses. So, and as a just a brief number, we're looking at about, so far with my responses, over 2,000 radios that need to be replaced with TDMA, the portables, and over 1,000 mobiles so far need to be replaced with TDMA radios. The yearly membership agreements, the DOD, have been sent to DPS for yearly payments. And then coming up, Kenwood engineers will be here at the ALMR office on August 20th. We'll be doing an acceptance test on their new radio. So Nick and I'll be working with them on that one on August 20th. Are there any questions before I move on to system upgrade? Hearing none. So the upgrade, we're still working on it. We had another meeting today where we're at, and we're looking hopefully to be completed by September. And once that upgrade and testing is completed, myself and Nick will start doing some system testing by activating different talk groups, TDMA, just to make sure that they're going to be working. July document reviews, we did high-level communication strategy, interoperability, key management facility, and the user council charter. And if you look, what I'll do is I'll open it up to the metrics. And starting out with our monthly group and individual calls, we had 1,588,685. Our monthly push-to-talks were 2,614,183. And our monthly busies were 1,059, well below the numbers that would give me any concern. Subscriber counts, we had 31,699 subscribers. Monthly sites below 3.9s, we had 15, and it pretty much runs the gamut here. So software upgrades, PMIs, testing, microwave repairs, that's what we have for our metrics on there. On our website, we did have 373 sessions, 709 page reviews. What interesting for that one is we had 94% were new users. So as I reach out to all the other agencies and subscribers, talking to them about our website and the training videos, it's nice to see that we're getting new users on there. Any questions on the metrics? Moving on to the other. So the monthly security check, I completed that on August 13th. The systems management office conducted 25 PMIs in July and 7 so far in August. So they've been very busy out in the field, and the techs are still out there conducting work even as of this morning. We did have a large power outage here in Anchorage the other day, and I just want everybody to know that the Zone 1 master site did not lose any power during that outage on 12 August. If anybody's not familiar with that, we had about 50,000 residents and buildings in the Anchorage metro area that lost power for several hours on August 12th, but the Zone 1 master site kept plugging along. The quarterly security updates for all zones will be conducted on August 27th and 28th. So Nick and his team and I will be here early morning contacting all the dispatch centers, and we'll be doing that one. Mary did post the August updated documents that are on the website now. And then part of the contract deliverables, myself and staff from APSCS attended the yearly APCO meeting. And that's the Association for the Public Safety Communications Officials and the Motorola Trunk Users Group. So we met with several vendors, listened to the briefings. So it was very good information on that one. And then the last one I have is the Executive Council meeting. If you look on our website, it was changed to a discussion since none of the co-chairs were available. So the meeting, April meeting minutes will be approved at the October meeting. But if you look at the website, it's not an official meeting, but the agenda and the recording is posted. That's all I have, Mr. Chair, from my report, pending any questions from the group.
Thank you, Paul, very much. I open the floor for any questions for Mr. Fussy. I thought I saw a hand go up earlier. Any questions for Paul? Hearing or seeing none, we can move on to the next agenda item, which is the System Management Office overview. And I turn it over to Mr. Nick Vansock. Nick?
Thanks, John. So as Paul mentioned, you know, we have been doing a lot of PMIs, and thank you for being patient with us as we complete these. We're just trying to get as many done as possible in these good summer months. And not to be, you know, kind of repeating there, but the Birchill stuff, you know, the parts that I didn't want to get totally deep into, but the bypass switch was in fact not broken. It was just a lack of procedures, I guess, on their part as far as how it worked. But yes, everything with that went very well. I mean, couldn't gun any better than that. And that's really all I've got.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the update, Nick. I, again, open the floor for any questions for Mr. Sandstock or the SMO office.
I have none.
Thank you. Moving on to the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overuse, I will open the floor to Mr. Scott Stormo. Scott.
Thank you. Just a quick update on the upgrade that we've been going through with Motorola. We are down to the last couple of sites that they're doing the TDMA test plan. Once that's done, all the Geneva routers have been put in. So for all the state RF sites, we are approaching the point where we can switch the system over to TDMA, and there's more to that than just flipping a switch. But just to let you know, we're starting to get close to the end of, you know, what's been a many year process. So, but other than that, our teams, the state's teams, has been out doing a lot of PM's work at the site, and that ranges from cutting the brush away from the shelters, the towers, the fences, to servicing generators, changing filters on HVAC units, fixing minor things that they discover on site, and kind of documenting major things that are discovered on site. So getting a lot of the basic stuff done, and finding more work as would be expected as well. I think we've got one or two generators that are determined to be in op at the moment that will be continuing the work to get those straightened out. We've been hiring some tower crews lately to do some dish replacements and realigning of some dishes that have kind of gotten out of alignment over the years. We've got trees in the way at some places. We're working on getting trees cut down to improve those microwave shots, but making progress. Unfortunately, we don't have the in-house resources to do some of this stuff, so it's kind of depending on what we can find for contractual crews and funding to pursue that. But when we've been able to do that, we've been making good progress on repairing issues on the system. So other than that, I don't think I have anything else to add unless there's any questions.
Thank you very much, Scott. And before we move on, could either you or Paul give us an update on the APCO or MTUG, any highlights? Then also, after this meeting, we're going to be having a proposal briefing from Motorola Solutions. If you want to give any background on that, I think that would be awesome.
So, Mr. Chair, this is Paul Fussy. So with the APCO and the EBNTUG meeting, we sat through a lot of different sessions looking at the new products coming out. And like I said, I went around and talked to multiple vendors, talking to them, setting up meetings and appointments to have their products tested on the system. And looking at the new cybersecurity information, one of the things that was very productive for Scott and I doing some research, if everybody remembers, Mr. Woodall asked me in the last user council meeting, executive council meeting, to research the BDA. Since we're going to FDMA to TDMA, do individuals need to update or change out their BDA or DAS systems? We talked to several engineers down there. Since we're going to a digital FDMA to digital TDMA, they do not have to replace their systems. However, they will have to recalibrate them. We talked to one of the engineers that just designed and had a system put in at one of the federal buildings downtown here, too. So it was very informative on that one. So that's a report for the APCO and the MTUG, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Paul. And the next item that I mentioned was the proposal briefing from Motorola that is going to be immediately after this meeting closes. Any updates on that?
Let me just add something quick to what Paul said about BDAs. We and pretty much everyone else in MTUG that has anything to do with BDAs has, I think, recently learned in the last year or two that nobody actually has been doing anything that you're supposed to do with BDAs. And a lot of that is changing. It all really comes down to maybe some changes in the coding, but I'd say more in the code, but probably more people's awareness of what is required in the code and having staff that actually understands that and enforces or requires the processes to be followed. There's probably a lot. I'd say none of that existed in Alaska. Most of it doesn't probably exist right now, so I think we're really at the infancy stage, which sounds bad until you, you know, get presentations from PCERN, the people in the Seattle area, who basically started from scratch on this a few years ago, too. So we're there's probably going to be some changes going forward on BDAs, but really it comes down to is, you know, are the enforcement officials going to push for some of this stuff? The one thing that we actually have a lot of control over is if you're using a BDA to rebroadcast somebody's frequencies, you have to have permission from the owner of those frequencies, the licensed owner of those frequencies. So a BDA can't go in and rebroadcast ALMR frequencies without the state of Alaska and possibly the DOD. Not sure who would speak for both of them, either one of us could, or how that works, but you've got to have authorization and written authorization from the license holder to do that. So as far as I know, that's never happened. So we've probably got some policies and procedures we need to try to document and get put in place. And because we're a statewide system, codes exist differently in different places, so that only makes this more complicated. So, but I think the one thing in general is you can't rebroadcast somebody else's frequencies that you don't own without their permission, and you are required to do annual testing and certification on your equipment to make sure it is properly functioning and not causing interference or any other difficulties. So probably lots to come on BDA stuff.
To the chair, this is Mr. Woodall. Can we entertain a offline a muted conversation here locally for a second, and we'll get back to you?
Yes, sir. Thank you. And for those online, we're just paused for a brief moment while the people at the tutor office have a quick conversation regarding what Scott was talking about in BDAs.
Mr. Chair, this is Paul Fussy, and for the group, I do apologize, but something has come up, and the discussion for the new business is going to be tabled and to a further date. So for right now, Mr. Chair, the new business section which is the contract proposal briefing. That'll be tabled till a later date. That's to be determined.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate the update. Moving on, we are under the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. Scott's made his presentation, so we move on to DOD and turn it over to Mr. Tim Woodall. Tim?
Yes, with regard to the DOD, we are working for the infrastructure owners in the DOD with the SAF AF, so the Secretary of the Air Force level infrastructure folks, and the Army G9 to execute a community partnership program-based intergovernmental support agreement that will be between the infrastructure owners in Alaska Land Mobile Radio, and that that is being worked currently at that level. When it is done, the agreement will address our financial responsibilities, contractual responsibilities as infrastructure owners, and so they'll be fully defined. And for those which will be helpful, because right now we are a third party to a State of Alaska contract, meaning the State of Alaska is the signatory to the contract with Motorola, but we receive services as a third party. The intergovernmental service agreement will be seen by the DOD as, in fact, a contract which has a must-pay addendum to it, much like if we had a FAR-based contract in place and were a party to a signatory to a part contract. So it will solve some of the issues that we're having. It is taking way much longer than what I anticipated it would take, but there's a lot of legal climbing that has to occur, a lot of negotiations that are occurring, but it is progressing, so please be patient. And that's all I have. I think we're pressing forward, and it'll be good when we get that in place. Any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Woodall?
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Tim. And I appreciate you pushing forward with this fiducial direction. You know, we've talked a lot about sustaining the ALMR infrastructure, sustaining the funding structure as well. And it's always been kind of sometimes confusing, right, on who's got the money or what have you. And I appreciate you trying to establish a standard and for us to continue to go forward. So appreciate your work. Moving on to the user council representative updates, we could start with the SOA components. Any updates from DOT? How about DPS, Lieutenant Andres?
Well, since I bragged last meeting that we were able to spend about $400,000 on some new radios, about a month after that order was placed, it came down from the top that we had to cancel that order. So just so no one's envious anymore. And then we're doing an inventory of all our radios right now so we can present an accurate picture of what we have. Yeah, we're in a situation with getting ready. If an order isn't placed, you know, before very long for our spring academy, we'll be looking at issuing XTS 5000s that we've already pulled in to be taken out of service, and that's what we will have to issue to recruits. So that's where we are.
Mr. Rockwell, if you're talking, you're muted.
I am talking, and I appreciate that, Paul. I was moving on to SOA component, all others. Mr. Nelson, any updates?
Oh, hi, this is Scott. No, I don't have any updates.
Well, thank you very much. And then for the DoD component, anything from U.S. Army installations? How about J-Bear?
Hey, this is Sergeant Drave. We are currently working with contracting on getting the R1 North batteries upgraded. I know this has been a long process, and we're really trying to push forward. So we actually have a site survey with contractors on the 28th of August. So hopefully we can move forward with that. And then we're also in the process of gathering all of our flash codes for the TDMA upgrade. So that way, if funding drops anytime during before the new fiscal year, we're ready to execute as soon as we can and getting the TDMA software. But other than that, that is all.
Well, thank you very much. How about from Eielson? Oh, I'm sorry. We went on.
Nothing from Eielson.
Okay, thank you. We can move to the federal non-DOD components. Anything from DOJ, DOI, or all others?
Nothing from TSA, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. And from the municipal component, we can start with Central. Either Tammy or Jim, any updates?
Well, all I can talk about right now is Palmer. We're full-fledged ahead with TDMA, and we now have full redundancy at Palmer PD. We have backhaul going both directions, so we're no longer just a spur, it's a loop.
Thank you, Jim. And we can move to North. Any updates from North? Is Kyle online?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul. Neither of the gentlemen are online.
Oh, thank you, Paul. And Southeast? Hearing none, the next agenda item is new business. We have been asked to change the agenda slightly by removing the new contract proposal briefing from Motorola under new business. So I open up the floor for any new business that anybody would like to bring up.
Mr. Chair, this is Paul Fussi.
Yeah, it's Joe Fixer with Motorola, and Jim Nickel with Motorola is here, and we've got a couple of employment announcements to make. A little bit of a shuffling going on here, some new hires, and we'd like to introduce those guys.
Yeah, well, excellent. Like Please.
Thanks,
do.
John. I'd like to introduce Richard Sasai, is the regional services manager now for Territory 8 North, which is Alaska's included in. And then also Kevin Farrell, who is the customer support manager on the state and local side. And both of them live in Washington, but have access here. I'll let Richard just talk for a quick second and give you a little bit of background. And then.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Great to be here. Nice to meet everybody. First meeting, so I'm excited about this. Spent 21 years at Verizon before moving to Motorola, so new to the company, new to the role, but Alaska was part of my territory when I was in Verizon, so familiar with the landscape and going to the different areas and looking to continue to meet people and to continue the relationships that Jim has built.
Kevin? All right, I'm Kevin Farrell, I'm a 15-year Motorolan and an engineer who most recently worked as a systems design and integration specialist on Astro Systems. I'm here to the CSM role, and it's good to meet you all.
So Kevin was a post-aerial engineer on multiple of my projects in the Washington area, and every one of my projects, the people that he was working with,
not only ask but beg to have him back. And so he did such a good job. We want him back on all of our projects. So I'm really excited to get him in my territory now to continue to work with him within a CSM role. So I think you're going to see good things from Kevin and Richie. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Joe, for the introductions. And gentlemen, welcome aboard. Anything else for new business? If not, I'd like to open the floor for just any questions or observations from anybody online or there at the conference room.
This is Scott again.
Yes, Scott.
Just one thing I wanted to mention that nobody asked about and I forgot to bring up, but to quote the way Motorola said it at the MTUG meeting, the FedRAMP approval for Smart Connect is on the 1 or 2 yard line, and they basically expect approval to come anytime, you know, days to weeks. We've heard obviously that many times before, but they were quite, I think, confident in the fact that they've had a lot of back and forth with the FedRAMP process, and all the questions have been answered. All the paperwork has been done. We are just waiting for the FedRAMP office, federal government, to grant the final approval. So they think they're close, and there's nothing left to do but wait for that. So hopefully good news, but we've heard news like that for a couple of years, just not this confident, I think. So.
Oh, that is excellent news, Scott. Thank you so very much for updating us on that. Anything else? Well, hearing silence, I can announce the next meetings are currently scheduled for September 4th and October 2nd. And again, the floor is open for any questions, comments, observations. Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Jim Goodman.
Thank you, Jim. Yes, Mr. Fussy.
Fine, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure you heard Mr. Goodman, sir.
I did. Thank you very much. And a second?
This is Scott Nelson, second.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. And at this time, I hold the meeting adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.